Hello and welcome to the Rick Diamond Show. I'm Rick Diamond, accompanied by my tag team partner, John Tabor. And we just got back from San Antonio, the Royal Rumble.
We did.
And my favorite part of the Royal Rumble, I'm going to play that for you now. It brings back so many great memories. Yes, he is. He is the guy, and he was the guy to enter at number 30. And man, I loved it. The only thing I didn't love was that he didn't win the whole thing, because I would have loved to see all of you out there crying about it. With that being said, we got a huge show tonight. We're going to keep talking about that, continue talking about the Royal Rumble and Roman Reigns with James B. McDaniel at 10 o'clock. But first, we've got Jay Lethal to get to, ROH World Champion, former ROH World Champion, and the longest reigning ROH television champion of all time. Here's that interview. We'll play it for you now. It's the Rick Diamond Show on ESPN Radio 97.7, and we're joined by the longest reigning ROH television champion in history and former ROH World Champion, Jay Lethal. What's going on, Jay?
With an intro like that, I mean, how can I not be doing great?
Yeah, well, great. I actually do want to talk to you about all the accomplishments that you've had. So the first question, we'll just transition into that. Is there anything else you'd like to do in ROH, or have you pretty much done it all?
Oh, no. Actually, I've never been our Ring of Honor tag team champions. I've never been tag team champions. That's something that I'd like to accomplish. And if I were able to accomplish that, I think I would be in a very short list of people who have had every single championship in Ring of Honor, including the Pure title. I don't know if you remember that, but the belt that Ring of Honor used to have called the Pure Championship. I even held that for a short period of time. So, yeah, if I become the tag team champions, then I would have had every belt that Ring of Honor has, every championship anyway, that ever Ring of Honor's ever had. Also, I'll go on the record and say that I'm afraid to set goals for myself out of fear that they won't come true. In fact, if you can believe it, throughout my career, I have never set a goal to do any of the things that I've gotten to be able to do. I've just been in the right place at the right time, and I've been extremely lucky to get to do some of those things, but they've never been goals that I set out. I just like living this wrestling business one day at a time because it's such a crazy wrestling world. I mean, let's think about it. I got to step into the ring with a man that I idolized growing up, a man that helped shape my love for professional wrestling, like Ric Flair. There's no way you can set a goal at a very young age, say, I'm going to wrestle my idol when I grow up, and then have it come true. So I'm terrified to set a goal for myself.
Well, you're currently in the Decade of Excellence tournament that ROH is running right now, and you defeated Jushin Thunder Liger in the first round. What does it feel like to not only be able to face a legend like Jushin Thunder Liger, but to defeat it?
I can't tell you how many VHS tapes I have that Jushin Thunder Liger appears on. Growing up watching wrestling, I was a huge fan of Japanese wrestling. My first taste of Jushin Liger, though, was actually from WCW when WCW had a bunch of the Japanese guys come over. I mean, it's nothing short of an honor. I feel like I say that a lot. It's like it's an honor or it was a dream come true, but I've run out of ways to describe it because it literally is an honor and a dream come true. Jushin Thunder Liger in my profession is a legend and he's an icon. And he deserves to be in any wrestler's Hall of Fame. And I got to wrestle with him it doesn't even matter to me what the win or loss record is for that match. Just the fact that I got to step into the ring with him was just, I mean, it was unreal to me. I still don't think I fully have grasped the fact that I've been in the ring with somebody like Jushin Thunder Liger.
Well, Cody, the American Nightmare, just arrived in ROH, and he says he came to ROH to prove himself as one of the best. If you had to assess him, do you think he stacks up to the talent in ROH?
Well, I mean, if you watch the match we had, and you look at how the match ended, a little controversial fashion, especially from Cody Rhodes, with a kick in the balls, my balls. Anyway, then one would automatically assume that, one, he doesn't measure up. But to be honest, I'm a huge fan of his and his family. I mean, he's the son of Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream. That family is rich with wrestling history. I would definitely say that Cody Rhodes could survive on any roster that he wanted to, as far as his wrestling skill and wrestling ability and where he measures up. But like I said, yeah, if you look at the outcome of our last match and how it ended, then I could see how some fans may beg to differ.
Well, Samoa Joe was your old tag team partner, and I just want to know what you thought of his Raw debut last night and all the success he's having over in WWE.
Okay, so thank God for DVR, because I didn't see Monday Night Raw last night because I fell asleep, because this weekend that just passed, or last weekend you'd say, I was wrestling in Scotland for a company called WCPW. And unfortunately, I landed home on Monday and I was so tired that I passed out and I did not see Raw. But I heard that Samoa Joe debuted, and after I'm done at my wrestling school today with my students, then I'll be watching it from DVR later tonight. But without seeing it, all I can tell you is that I think it's about time. Samoa Joe was one of my first real teachers outside of getting trained initially to learn how to wrestle, but he taught me how to conduct myself in and mainly outside of the ring, how to carry myself, how to talk to would-be promoters, and what not to put up with. And so I would definitely consider Samoa Joe one of the most important people to influence and shape my career from the very start. So I definitely think it's about time, and it's an honor, and I'm so, so proud and so happy for him. And I can't wait to get home and watch his debut for Raw.
Well, another listener texts in. It's James. He wants to know what it's like preparing for someone so unorthodox and so unpredictable like Jay Briscoe.
So the crazy part about Jay Briscoe is you got to remember. So obviously I'm trying to inflict pain on my opponent. But Jay Briscoe is the type of opponent that would inflict pain on himself. So how do you hurt somebody who doesn't mind hurting themselves? I would definitely say that there's no preparation for a match like that. Like, I mean, Jay Briscoe, as well as Mark Briscoe, and I'll go on the record and say the whole damn Briscoe family, they're crazy. So there's no preparing for them. I mean, that is just plain and simple. There's no preparation, no game plan, no prep that you could do to prepare for someone who doesn't even mind hurting themselves, let alone you.
So a lot of people feel like WWE ripped ROH off after they put the U.S. title and the WWE title on Seth Rollins, because you did that in ROH with the ROH world title and the TV title, holding them at the same time shortly after. Of course, they did essentially the same thing. How do you feel about that?
Well, if, let's just say hypothetically that you're right, hypothetically we Ring of Honor did it and then WWE said, that's cool, and then they did it. If that is correct, then how can you not be honored? How can you not feel good about that? The fact that you did something and the company that sits in the number one spot in our industry, in our business, the WWE, liked it so much that they said, okay, let's do it. So if that is the case, then I'm extremely honored, which I don't think it's the case. I think it's just a coincidence, a very cool coincidence. But I think it's, yeah, just a coincidence. But if for some strange reason that it is the truth, how can you not be honored and feel good about something like that? So if that's the truth, I feel amazing. I mean, what an honor. You inspired the number one wrestling company in this world to do something. If that's true, all I have to say about that is, wow, thank you very much.
Bernard texts into the Paradigm Gym hotline. He wants to know that you've re-signed with ROH. So is there a desire to go to WWE, or are you just really not looking in that direction?
Right now, I'm not looking in that direction. Like he mentioned, I did re-sign with Ring of Honor. I love Ring of Honor. They've given me so many of the greatest days of my life. They treat me great. I'm extremely happy there. So to quickly answer your question, which I've answered before with other people, and I always put it to them like this, the WWE helped shape my love for professional wrestling. It wasn't until I watched on WWE TV or WWF at the time, guys like Macho Man Randy Savage and guys like Ric Flair. So that company single-handedly, along with those individuals, shaped my love for professional wrestling. So I think most people from my generation who are in the wrestling business, it's definitely something that they would like to put on their resume, even if it's like a bucket list thing. But sure, I'd love to at some point get to work for the WWE since they helped create my love for professional wrestling. So I think that would be cool to say somewhere along the lines. But right now, I can tell you that I just re-signed with Ring of Honor, and I'm extremely happy, and I'm not looking to go anywhere else right now.
Yeah, a lot of people want to rush into that. You know, they think, oh, it's going to be too late. I got to get to WWE now. But I would disagree in your case. I think you're only getting better and better.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
So, yeah, I don't think it's any rush there. And I'm definitely enjoying the work you're doing in Ring of Honor right now in Dallas, Texas, this Saturday, February 4th. It's going to be Honor Reigns Supreme, and you'll be taking on Hangman Page. I want to know what your strategy is for this guy, because I can't quite figure him out. Maybe you've got him pegged, though.
The Hangman Adam Page. Well, I'll tell you what, I think there's nothing to this Hangman Adam Page. Sometimes when we travel around with certain people, they influence us. Sometimes they make us feel good about ourselves, and sometimes they can even rile us up. And I think that's what's going on with Hangman Adam Page. He's been hanging out with the Young Bucks and the Bullet Club and Adam Cole far too much. And it's actually gone to his head. That's the easiest way to explain or describe Hangman Adam Page. In Dallas, I'll make quick work of Adam Page because it's not a tag team match. It's a singles match. So, of course, if any of his cronies show up, that's an automatic disqualification. So Dallas will be an easy night for me.
So you don't think he can do it alone? Is that what you're telling me?
I don't think he can do it alone. That's exactly what I'm telling you.
We got another question in here. They want to know whose idea the Flair promo was. And you know exactly what promo I'm talking about, where you did the Ric Flair impersonation. Whose idea was that?
That was Ric Flair's idea. He came into the company, and at the time, I could do this really cool Ric Flair impression that I was doing in the locker room. He heard about it. And then wanted to do it on television. Now, as far as who said, let's put them in the ring together at the same time, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think it was just the office just giving Ric Flair what he wanted. But no one sat down and said, okay, and then we're going to do this woo-off thing where you woo, and then Ric Flair woos. That was legit just a spontaneous thing that happened on totally off the cuff, totally on the fly.
and it was just gold.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with that. I mean, it's got well over a million views on YouTube. I don't know the exact count, but I'd say a lot of people think, and a lot of people have told me, that that's one of their favorite moments in wrestling.
Yeah, it's one of mine, too. It's definitely one of mine, too.
So, you know, of course, when you were in TNA, you were famous as the Black Machismo. Did you enjoy doing the Macho Man impression or the Flair impression more?
Wow, that's a great question. I think I prefer to do the Macho Man impression more. It was a little bit easier. I didn't have to elbow drop the ground or knee drop the ground, as Flair would do sometimes. And I didn't have to yell, because with the Savage voice, you don't have to yell. In fact, sometimes you got to talk really, really soft. So that the Ric Flair one, you had to yell. So I'm going to pick the Macho Man one as my favorite one to do. Plus, I did that one the longest.
Our last fan question. He wants to know what matches you watch in your downtime. That's from Ryan.
Oh, I watch any and everything. For instance, when I get home today from my school, I'm going to watch Monday Night Raw. I watch any and everything wrestling. You'd think we'd get sick of wrestling, but we don't. I just avoid watching my own stuff. So that's all.
Really? Why is that?
I don't know. I just because I feel like I lived it. So I'd rather see what else is going on.
That's interesting. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you in Vegas at the 15th anniversary show, as well as in Orlando at Supercard of Honor, Jay.
I'm looking forward to seeing you there as well. Everyone's got social media. Everyone's mom and dad even has it. My Twitter just so happens to be at The Lethal J. And that's everything spelled out. THELETHALJAY, The Lethal J. It's the same for my Instagram. I even have a website, The Lethal J. Just wanted to throw that out there as well. Also, if you're in the Tampa area and you're looking to get a start in professional wrestling, just visit my website. There's a training page as well. But yeah, other than that, that's about it. Thanks for the time.
Well, thanks for coming on. It's Saturday, February 4th in Dallas, Texas, Honor Reigns Supreme, where Jay Lethal takes on Hangman Adam Page. Stay tuned to the Rick Diamond Show. It's ESPN Radio 97.7.
For quality after-school care, think Paradigm Gymnastics in Ruston. Paradigm Gymnastics and after-school for boys and girls, preschool up to 10 years old. Paradigm Gym offers gymnastic programs after-school designed to harness and focus all that childhood energy into discipline confidence. See our state-of-the-art facility. Go to ParadigmGym.net right now and see the full schedule. Mom, classes are enrolling now for gymnastics and after-school care. Call 201-2122. Paradigm Gymnastics and After School Care. Fit for life.
Hey, it's Rick Diamond from The Rick Diamond Show on ESPN Radio. You know where I go when I need a new car to spice up my garage a little bit? I go see Angelo D. Frazier at Courtesy Chevrolet in Ruston. He's got all of your new or pre-owned vehicle purchases available right now. Call him on his cell at 318-820-7407. It's Angelo D. Frazier. The D stands for deal.
Mechanics you can trust for tires, oil changes, and brake repair. That's Lincoln Tire and Service. Small engine repair too. Lincoln Tire and Service. You can depend on them. 2829 Farmville Highway in Ruston, just down from Cranford's north side.
ESPN 97.7 is presented by the injury attorney Jeff Guerrero in Monroe. If you or someone you love has been injured in an accident or a victim of medical malpractice, you need to go Guerrero.
Hey, this is Tommy Dreamer, former ECW heavyweight champion, the innovator of violence, the ECW original, and a whole lot of other titles. and you're listening to my friend, The Rick Diamond Show, taking you to the extreme.
Indeed I am, just like I do every week. I take you to the extreme right here on The Rick Diamond Show and on Sports Slam with Diamond and that man you just heard, Tommy Dreamer. Now, we talked about Roman Reigns being the number 30 entrant in the Royal Rumble a little bit already. And I gotta say, I loved it. Tabor, I know you didn't feel quite the same way I did, but I thought it was perfect.
I'll say, when I heard his music hit, my immediate thought was, he's going over.
I wish he would have.
And the internet and the wrestling world will explode. And while it won't be my personal preference, I'd have liked to see Bray get the win myself. But, you know, that's okay, because I can sit back and enjoy. You know, I'm not always so concerned about what the final destination is and how that ends. I can enjoy the ride.
That's what makes you special. That's why you're here.
But my goodness, if Reigns would have gone over, the tears would have been flowing.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Mississippi River.
Oh,
I would have just jumped on the riverboat right along with you, Diamond.
You get me too excited. Just thinking about all those tears flowing. I love it. I hope he does win next year, because it'll be even worse. Keep him strong.
I think if they ever do get around to flipping him heel, I wouldn't mind it then.
Of course you wouldn't. Then everybody would cheer him.
Well, sometimes, yeah.
So what, they're going to turn him face, and they're going to boo him, they're going to turn him heel, and they're going to cheer him again? So, I mean, it's flip-flop. You know, the fans are going to do what they want to do.
Oh, so you want to turn him into Big Show now?
I guess so. I mean, that's the only way to keep the crowd doing it right. I don't know. If you turn Roman Reigns heel, what would happen? Would the fans still boo him? My guess is no.
I think they would.
Really?
Here's why. The heels that you see get cheered are usually by the smart fans, and they're cheering them because they respect their work and they think they're good at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So they throw, suspended animation of good guy, bad guy out the window and just give them props for how good they think they are with their work.
Yeah.
I don't believe Roman is thought of as that good of a worker overall amongst that smart fan that would cheer for a heel.
He's not thought of that way.
I think he's in that echelon. I think he's
too.
A main event caliber guy.
Mm-hmm.
Me, personally. I think we're both in the minority in that opinion.
Because I'm going to tell you, I'm not saying it was a better match. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. I haven't gone back to watch it on TV. But I enjoyed Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens more.
Okay,
than I
okay.
Enjoyed
so,
seeing
even,
AJ.
So even if you don't think it was the better of the two, then you're saying, okay, I've got a 5.0 and a 4.5 right here.
Right. I mean,
because that's how I would have given both of those matches. I'd have given Roman and KO a 4.5, and I'd have given Cena and AJ a 5.
Right. And I think that I personally enjoyed Reigns and Owens more, just because of the weapons involved. Innovative stuff with the chairs.
I wanted Jericho to drop the scarf down and KO choke him with the scarf.
Well, I would have been behind that too.
I mean, as old school and classic as the brass knucks were, I dug that. The scarf would have just been Jericho at his ultimate Jericho-ness. And then, those two work so good listen to me. They work so good together that it just would have been. And I think that just goes to your point. That match, all guys involved, it doesn't go off like that if Roman doesn't do his part.
No, absolutely not. And I'm personally more of a fan of Roman Reigns' work than I am Kevin Owens. I went into that match thinking, man, I don't really want to watch Kevin Owens in a world title match again. The only reason I'm interested is because Chris Jericho is in a shark cage.
So let's flip that question. I'm a KO guy. I love his work. I still brag about the match he had with Elgin at Supercard back in 14. And since that day, Mr. Wrestling. What did you think of his work?
I mean, I thought it was great, but like you said, it takes two to tango there.
Oh, you know? Absolutely.
Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens and even Chris Jericho up in the shark cage did all that,
so that
together.
So that was your match of the night?
That is the match I enjoyed the most. Was it better than Cena and AJ? I don't know because I haven't went back and watched it on TV. But yeah, I enjoyed that match the most, absolutely, because they did so much creative stuff. You had Chris Jericho in the shark cage. You didn't know what he was going to do. He brought out the brass knucks. We hadn't seen it in a long time. Then you do the pyramid with the chairs that we've never seen before. And I'm like, you know, they can't take a back bump on that. They can't. That's way too dangerous. He's just going to spear him into it or something, right? And they did, off the top turnbuckle. Incredible.
I agree. The entire card, it built well. You had the cruiserweight kind of thrown in there, and I sat and watched the match, and it wasn't bad. Nothing special though, but I thought it was proper placement within the realm of the card to cool down the crowd. You know, you got to go take a bathroom break sometime. It's a 4-hour show.
I can't believe you just admitted that the cruiserweights are a bathroom break.
Well, the way that card was built, that was the cool off. Go get your nachos and use the bathroom.
Yeah. Well, and I didn't do that. But I did chant negative things at the cruiserweights from my seat, along with another guy that was beside me. So we had the same opinions. Now, there were three in front of me that were chanting for Rich Swann all night long, and we both know how I feel
about
that.
Well, you couldn't handle it, so.
Couldn't handle it. Absolutely not. So I screamed at the ring.
I guess while we're on it, because we probably won't go back to it, Neville.
Neville?
Are you impressed?
He's fine. He's nothing special. He's fine. I mean, I respect the guy because he's a wrestler, and if you can do that, yeah, sure. I will respect you, but I don't like the character. I'm sure the man is just fine.
Not even the heel turn.
I like it better than any other cruiserweights going right now, except for TJ Perkins.
You and your Nintendo music.
TJ Perkins is my guy. I'm just saying. He's got everything. He's got the experience. He's got the looks. He's had the title. I mean, he's had it all. And these cruiserweights won't give him the respect he deserves. It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Putting Ali, is that his name, Ali? Ali, the guy who does the inverted 450 splash? I don't know. His name is something like that. He's trying to come in and take TJ Perkins' place. I don't think so, buddy. I don't think so. TJ's got your number.
Well, neither one of them are the man with the plan.
Man with the plan needs to go to the nursing home or something. He's a little old to be in the cruiserweight division and on 205 Live. I'm just saying.
He's at that gatekeeper spot in his career, I believe. And I think he's good at that.
The man with the retirement plan. I love it. Got a nice ring to it. Well, let's go ahead and take our next break. We'll get to James B. McDaniel on the other side. We'll talk about the Royal Rumble. We'll talk about some MMA. Anything you want to talk about, let us know on the Paradigm Gym Hotline, 888-993-7762. We'll be right back. They talk to me. They tell me things and I will too. They show me things, I'll do to you. They talk to me.
For quality after-school care, think Paradigm Gymnastics in Ruston. Paradigm Gymnastics and after-school for boys and girls, preschool up to 10 years old. Paradigm Gym offers gymnastic programs after-school designed to harness and focus all that childhood energy into disciplined confidence. See our state-of-the-art facility. Go to ParadigmGym.net right now and see the full schedule. Mom, classes are enrolling now for gymnastics and after-school care. Call 201-2122. Paradigm Gymnastics and After School Care. Fit for life.
Hey, it's Rick Diamond from The Rick Diamond Show on ESPN Radio. You know where I go when I need a new car to spice up my garage a little bit? I go see Angelo D. Frazier at Courtesy Chevrolet in Ruston. He's got all of your new or pre-owned vehicle purchases available right now. Call him on his cell at 318-820-7407. It's Angelo D. Frazier
The D stands for deal.
Mechanics you can trust for tires, oil changes, and brake repair. That's Lincoln Tire and Service. Small engine repair, too. Lincoln Tire and Service. You can depend on them. 2829 Farmville Highway in Ruston, just down from Cranford's north side.
ESPN 97.7 is presented by the injury attorney Jeff Guerrero in Monroe. If you or someone you love has been injured in an accident or a victim of medical malpractice, you need to go Guerrero.
Viva la raza!
If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
We lie, we cheat, we steal. We lie, we cheat, we steal.
This is Vicky Guerrero, and excuse me! You're listening to The Rick Diamond Show.
You know, the Facebook Live was, I just got word that we didn't have sound for the first 16 minutes.
I can explain how that happened, Rick.
Can you? Because I was about to blame John Tabor for it.
All right, now you're being absolutely ridiculous.
Am I?
When Facebook Live realized I was live broadcasting my Facebook Live, they realized nobody needed to hear you anyway, Rick.
Oh, John's tired. So now you're disrespecting me, and John disrespected me while we were in San Antonio on Sunday.
Whoa, please, I need to
hear about this.
Yeah, enlighten me.
I was talking to the big guy, Tyler Harris, at the table, and he's telling me about his Dancing with the Stars experience. Okay? I'm interested.
Yeah.
Because I love to dance, and Lord knows I'm a star. So I talked to him for a little bit, and Tabor's laughing over here now, but he knows it's true. I said, well, I got to join the show. I got to be on the show this year. I didn't know we did that in Monroe. And Tabor says to me, are you sure you're big enough of a star to be on Dancing with the Stars?
Oh, I didn't think that's where he was going.
Yeah, that's where he went with it.
I thought he was going to question your dance knowledge.
No. I questioned the star.
You've been watching Dance Moms for years.
I have. I've watched Dance Moms for years. That's where I got my coaching ability from, is Abby Lee Miller. That's a true story, by the way, for those who think I'm working you right now.
We are off the rails.
But anyway, yes. He disrespected me there. My response was, I'm much bigger of a star than anybody else they're going to be lucky enough to get. And I think that's
true.
There
you go. I think so. Listen, I've been with you out and about when people say, hey, they hear your voice, say, are you the Rick Dunn?
You're not kidding.
And I've got to say, it's impressive. And when I'm out and about, I have people come up to me and say, hey, you know, aren't you Ozzy Osbourne's kind of fat son? So it's just not the same experience. It's just not.
You still tell them yes,
thing.
Though.
Oh, yeah. I took pictures at Superior Grill in Shreveport one New Year's Eve. People thought I was, I can't remember his name offhand, but Ozzy's son.
You were mistaken for Jack Osbourne.
I was mistaken for Jack Osbourne. I've been mistaken for Zach Galifianakis, and more than one occasion, legitimately, I've been mistaken for a real-life leprechaun.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, that's every day.
Yeah, that's just every day. Exactly. No, so, all right, so I, for those that don't know, I actually do a Facebook Live at the beginning of this show. That's why I join when I do. And I know you guys, Rick, did a phenomenal interview with Jay Lethal. I haven't been able to hear it yet, and I really can't wait. But so far, what have I missed tonight on the Rick Diamond Show? What's next up for discussion?
We were talking about Roman Reigns entering the Rumble at number 30. And a Royal Rumble that I've heard through the grapevine you didn't care for very much.
I didn't like the match itself. Now, listen, I want to give a caveat here. I enjoyed a lot of the things that happened in that match. I'm a particular fan of the Royal Rumble match every year. When I was a kid, I always got WCW pay-per-views. But Royal Rumble was the one WWE pay-per-view at the time that I really wanted to see. And the reason is there's a couple things I always look forward to in the Rumble. We always have a couple of surprise guests from the past. Like in recent years, we had Kevin Nash come out as Diesel. We had, people like that. We didn't have any of that this year.
And the other thing is I really enjoy the Royal Rumble as a vehicle to help debut new stars. And there was a lot of talk as to would we see Nakamura? Would we see a Samoa Joe? Would we maybe even see a surprise entrance by Kenny Omega? And we didn't get any, so that was kind of disappointing to me, although I was excited to see Samoa Joe, of course, debut on Monday Night Raw. I think it's a long time coming for Joe. But then I just thought, well, then when Roman Reigns came out, like everyone else, I thought, oh, they're giving this to Roman. I thought they were giving it to Roman, which I have to say was a phenomenal troll job on the part of the WWE. They know the fans are all out on Roman. And they did that on purpose. And the thing is, it definitely helped because I think if there was no Roman in there at was that 29 or 30?
When Roman Reigns did what exactly?
When he came out, what number was he again?
I'm not sure. I believe it was 30.
It was Roman it was came out. End. Roman came out at 30.
Yeah. So when he came out, I think they knew if he had never come out, I don't think the fans would have been very excited about Randy Orton winning. Because right now, John Cena is the champion. We saw that earlier in the night, and that's been done literally a million times. But I kind of do love that they knew when they brought Roman out last, everyone would assume he was going to win. And it ended up making people cheer the Randy Orton thing. And I know they're kind of looking at a different match, not him and Cena. But the other thing is we had all this excitement coming in again with Goldberg, Brock Lesnar, Undertaker, kind of the big three just monster legends. And they all came out kind of at the same time. I wish they would have been a little more spread out. I think Brock, for instance, could have definitely gone a while. I don't know how it looked live in the stadium with 50,000 people like you guys experienced, but for me at home, The Undertaker looked like a legit dead man, but not like a dangerous zombie, more just like a guy that needs medical attention. He moved slow. The eliminations didn't look good. Clearly the other guys did all the work, and so I really do hope this, whatever they do with Taker at Mania, I do hope this is the last one because I don't want him to be remembered as the big plotting guy with a little bit of a gut. But so yeah, there were things I liked, things I didn't like. But listen, I, the Cena Styles match was phenomenal, and overall, I think this was a good show, and they're going good places. And super, super excited. I want to reemphasize to see Samoa Joe pop up as Triple H's enforcer on Monday night.
Yeah, I don't care much for Samoa Joe.
How dare you, Rick?
So, I mean, it was an all right segment, right? I want to see Samoa Joe take on Seth Rollins at Fastlane, and then obviously the WrestleMania match that I'm waiting for is Triple H and Seth Rollins. With that being said, James, when you asked me about Roman entering at number 29 or 30, I didn't know what you were asking because I was reading some very rude Facebook comment.
And, well, hey, there's no bad press, so I'm glad we're getting Facebook comments.
You're absolutely right. And I want to respond to this comment because I don't know if I can say it on the air, read it. But if you want to know what it says, you can go to the ESPN 977 Facebook page and watch live and read that comment from Charlie Mason. He says, I look like something, and I'm not going to say what it is. But Charlie, I want you to look into my eyes, both of them, buddy. You see this sparkle right here? In the left one, not the right one. That is stardom, and you'll never see it in yours. James.
I think Charlie just got served.
James, back to whatever we were talking about with the Royal Rumble. I just had to get that off of my chest. Pectorals.
I understand that, Rick. You've got to respond to haters out there.
Absolutely. One
of the reasons I like Samoa Joe so much, and this isn't that true anymore, but a few years ago, I'd say maybe 2005 to 2008, something like that, I thought everybody in the WWE looked the exact same. Everybody had the same haircuts. They were the same build. And I love growing up with guys like Dusty Rhodes who just looked different. They were what kind of Southern people thought was tough. And I love different styles, different looks. And to me, Samoa Joe, clearly, you don't want to compare him against a legend like Dusty Rhodes, but a different looking guy like that, a big guy that can really go. He's had phenomenal matches in the past with guys like Kurt Angle. So that's why I'm glad he's debuting. I don't think he necessarily needs to get this giant title push or anything like that. I'm just glad to see him in the building, in the mix, because love him or hate him, you've got to admit he's an excellent wrestler, an excellent in-ring performer, and it's good to see him on the big stage.
it is good to see him there, sure. Would I rather have him than Kenny Omega? Absolutely. Any day of the week. But I just wasn't a big fan of him in TNA. I do like that he's there. Sure. Great. And like I said, I want to see him face Rollins. I want to see him go at it once again.
Let's be honest. We've seen some of the greatest wrestlers in the history of the sport. Hulk Hogan, Sting, ROH greats like Nigel McGuinness. We've had all these people go to TNA and just they don't do anything with them. And they all fall apart. They have no star power. So that's another reason I'm glad to see him come in to see how much brighter he can shine outside the confines of TNA because he's been phenomenal in the past with ROH, one of my personal favorite wrestling organizations. And I think they're going to do some good things. And look, it doesn't hurt to come in as Triple H's guy. Have Triple H behind you. You're clearly going to be a big part of the show for a long time to come, unless he completely gets crushed by Seth Rollins.
Well, it is Roast Rick Diamond Day on Facebook live stream, but nonetheless, yes, I totally agree with you. I'm excited for Samoa Joe in the WWE to see what he can do. I am not going to say I didn't enjoy the storytelling in TNA. I just didn't like him as a character. I was never cheering for Samoa Joe, maybe because I was always an angle guy. And when he came in, his first big rivalry, or when Angle came in, his first big rivalry was with Samoa Joe.
Absolutely.
So that was probably where I got a bad taste in my mouth as soon as Samoa Joe thought he could take on the guy who won a gold medal with a broken freaking neck.
You know, Rick, this is your show. This is the Rick Diamond Show.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate you having me on. But hey, people recognize you. You're a star here, and I want to know. So I kind of want to get to the bottom of some of what you think. So you were there.
Sure.
You and John were there live at the Royal Rumble, and as I alluded to, there was a lot of cool things that happened. It was cool seeing the Big Show. You know, Braun Strowman had a phenomenal run. What were some of the highlights of the actual Rumble match for you two guys?
Well, I don't know because I was a little higher up than I usually am. You know. I was in the nosebleeds, and
I was in the nosebleeds.
Well, center risers or nosebleeds when you're Rick Diamond.
What is the world coming to?
I was in section 133, and yes, I know people would be lucky to be in that section. Normal people would, but I'm not a normal person.
I had a 3 starting my section.
Yeah. Well, the dollar amount I paid started with a 3, so we can relate there.
By the way, I love the fact that you two guys road tripped there from the beautiful studios of ESPN 977 over to San Antonio. You go to the ROH show together. I'm sorry, to the NXT show together, my bad. And then somehow you end up in the 100 section, and poor John is back in the 300, possibly the actual nosebleeds. Oh, man, I had no idea. But listen, when it comes to the wrestling, what do you guys think of the big push on Braun Strowman? Do you think it's too soon? One of my good friends does, and I really enjoy it. I like Braun Strowman.
I'm digging it. I say strap a rocket to him.
Not a Absolutely. Huge fan. Not a big fan of big guys. Maybe he can prove me wrong.
I know when you left the building that night, you got a text from me that said, awesome. And I, of course, sent that to you when your man, The Miz, came out. What did you think of The Miz's run in the Rumble?
Well, he lasted 33 minutes. And, yes, I would know that.
Pretty solid.
Yeah, well, that's pretty
solid.
That
is pretty solid.
I was happy about it. I
think he's a
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Rick.
Well, yeah. I told you to go ahead. It's my show. Do what I say.
Well, no, I thought – We had this period where you had the monsters like Brock and all kind of in the center of the ring, and a lot of the other guys kind of laid out around. And man, there was some real talent in that ring. When you had Baron Corbin in there, Chris Jericho, again The Miz, there were some really really great guys in that cage. And I don't know what other people thought, but I really enjoyed seeing Chris Jericho. Mm-hmm. Kind of do that old heel move where he just kind of leaves the ring so he can't get thrown over the top rope. And I think I heard somebody say this may be the most relaxing payday Chris Jericho's ever had because he spent that whole match earlier in the night suspended above the ring in a cage, and then most of this match outside just kind of chilling on the floor.
that was traumatizing for him to be in the cage, so he had to take a little rest during the Rumble.
Well, he did say last night that he had vertigo.
Yes, and I'm sure he did. I absolutely 100% believe him on that.
I do too.
And I told you on the way back, I would have loved to see him get at the commentary table and just do some commentary until number 30 comes out and then get back in there.
That would have been great. That would have been the cherry on top. Some of the other performances I was really into, Cesaro. I'm a big, big Cesaro fan. It's looking like he and Sheamus' tag team might not last too much longer. If that happens, which of these two guys would you like to see kind of catapulted into a title picture? Do you think Cesaro's the guy, or are you more of a Sheamus guy?
No, neither.
Neither. You don't
pick another team,
Cesaro.
Please.
The Good Brothers.
Did you just ask me if I like Cesaro? Have you not been listening to this show since April, whenever, 2016, the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania 32, when he ruined that Monday Night Raw for me? That was supposed to be Kurt Angle, and the mystery opponent just had to be a James Bond wannabe ripping off a suit.
That was a very specific rant, Mr. Diamond, and I am looking forward to going back and downloading that specific episode. And for anybody listening who doesn't know, you can, of course, download any episode of The Rick Diamond Show on iTunes and the Google Play Store. So I, for one, am going to be going to listen to that. So John brought up the Good Brothers. What did you think of their performance, bringing home the tag titles this weekend?
I wish I would have picked them on the gambling sheet we filled out, but, once again, Cesaro lets me down there. I did actually enjoy them winning the title, though. We went to the Raw in Little Rock, where they did not get the job done. They were robbed, and rightfully now they are the tag team champions, even though they're not
they
my
went
first
back,
choice.
Listen, who is your favorite tag team operating right now in the WWE? Do you have a favorite tag team?
Well, it's not Slater and Rhino. It's not American Alpha.
Do you eat
Alpha.
Your booty-os?
Oh, no. It's not the New Day.
There's only one answer, Diamond.
Yes. What is it?
It's 100% grade A Southern beef, Jack.
It's not the Revival. I don't know if I like any of them, to be honest with you, now that I think about it.
You know, John jogged my memory. Says you don't have an adequate answer, of course, because none of these tag teams live up to your high standards. What did you guys think of the maybe the first time in the Royal Rumble history where we saw an umbrella used as a weapon? And honestly, there was very much a Mary Poppins vibe going on there in the squared circle.
It was a waste of time is what it was. But I do have an answer for you now that I think about it. Two women who do live up to my standards who are kind of a tag team in the WWE today.
Okay.
And that is Peyton Royce and Billy Kay.
I think that's a solid answer. Really,
you don't know who they are, do you?
No, absolutely not. But I'm a professional. I'm going to act like I do, Rick.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I figured you were doing. Yeah, you might want to look them up. The way they hold hands with each other just delights me.
That may be the creepiest statement I've ever heard uttered on ESPN 97.7. And it can only increase the ratings, I have a feeling. So
I'm sure. I'm
going to look them up. I'm going to look into that as soon as we go off the air. What do you think about your boy, James Ellsworth? What do you think about his appearance?
Well, let's just say
it lasted too long.
No. I don't think he should have been in it. For reasons I will tell you off the air. How about that?
Okay, that works for me. Now, by saying you thought it lasted too long, you mean the entire appearance, as in when he showed up and waited until Dean Ambrose came down and Dean fired him up, or do you mean just his in-ring work?
Just, I'm with Diamond. I wasn't crazy about him.
Okay.
Being there. Santino got a limited, 1.4 seconds, so it would have been hard to break that record. They should have found a way to do it.
Listen,
it could have been
done. Speaking of breaking things, while there might not have been a record broken, it looked like Braun Strowman might have broken that man's neck. The way he threw him over those ropes, the way he landed, I literally gasped because I thought he might legit have to go to the hospital after this. That looked rough. I don't know how. I don't know what you guys' angle was. If that came out, if he came out on your side of the ring, but man, on TV, if you guys go back and look at that, it was. It looked like that man might have been crippled.
Man's got a family.
Exactly. I was really worried, and that might be. I think that might be part of the reason some people think Braun's getting pushed a little too fast is maybe he's a little too green and might get people hurt, especially just his power is just absolutely insane. But I haven't heard anything, so I'm assuming James Ellsworth is okay, which is good since the man does indeed have a family.
Maybe they should just toughen up.
Well,
there you go.
I'll give Ellsworth his credit. He was a guest on the Rick Numman Show.
He was a guest on the Rick Diamond Show, absolutely. He certainly was, and I appreciate that. But there are some other things that he's done that I didn't agree with.
So there's some heat, the Ellsworth Diamond heat potentially.
That potential heat there, absolutely. And that's as far as I'll go with that on the air.
But, potential heat, by the way, great podcast name.
Oh, it is, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for that. I may need to keep that
trademark
in my pocket.
That.
Yeah. Well, I do want to mention the direction WWE is rumored to be going in with the Universal title.
Okay.
Who do you think will fight for the Universal title at WrestleMania? Or excuse me, not WrestleMania, at Fastlane, the pay-per-view before WrestleMania. I just want to get this because I don't think you're going to get it right.
I guarantee you. I know you know. Listen. I'm mainly an MMA guy, and I love wrestling, but you know Raw way better than I do, so I really don't have a clue. What direction you think it's going? Maybe I have some other ideas once I hear it, but right now I'm really interested in seeing what you've got, Rick.
This is not the direction I think it's going. This is the direction that the dirt sheets think it's going, so take that as you will. But Kevin Owens taking on Goldberg and Goldberg going over.
Really? Well, the reason, I had not thought of that. And the reason being, is the same reason why I like it if it happens. And that is, I don't think you can have too many stars. And Goldberg, whatever you think of him, he's a star. And if he goes over, that means he's sticking around for a little while. And I think that's good for the sport. I think it's good for the WWE. And I'd like to see a little bit of a run out of him, especially with what he's done to Brock Lesnar, just squashing him twice in a row. I think you need to get something out of it more than just a WrestleMania match. So if we're clearly heading, and I think we are heading, to Goldberg-Brock at WrestleMania,
absolutely,
do you think that would then be for the Universal title?
I think it would.
Well, I don't have a problem with that. I think that's a great idea. Why don't you like it, and what would you prefer?
I didn't say I didn't like it. I said I did.
Oh, that's right. You said it wasn't your idea. My bad.
No,
that's
it was not my idea. This is from the dirt sheets. Now, is it credible? I don't know. Probably not, because nothing else they put out is. But let's say it does happen.
I've got some friends at some dirt sheets. Come on now.
Yeah, well, I do too. I used to write for one, so I think I would know how credible we are. But
good dirt sheets.
With that being said, I don't know if they're going this direction, but if they do, I'd be very happy about it because I can't stand Kevin Owens as the Universal Champion. I think it needs to be a big deal that you're the champion, and Kevin Owens doesn't have the ability to make me feel like he's a true champion.
I like Kevin Owens, and it doesn't feel to me like he's the true champion. He doesn't feel, I don't know, there's just something about it does feel off to me as well. And I think that's a good direction. But I think
I know exactly what it is.
What's that? What's that, John?
Jericho's outshining him.
Yeah.
You know what?
Absolutely.
There you are right there. That's everything right there. Jericho has been doing a phenomenal job lately in this thing with Kevin Owens. And I think you're 100% right.
Yeah, well, he definitely is. I mean, that's the obvious go-to thing, and I'm glad to see a diehard Kevin Owens guy, finally let go of his bias here tonight.
How dare you?
You're being ridiculous again.
Now, here's something, a wrench that might get thrown in is, you know, I'm wondering how long until we get Finn Balor back. Finn Balor, the actual first Universal Champion, who I don't even think they recognize anymore as part of that title lineage because he got injured basically as soon as he won it. And they had the, I don't remember if it was a tournament, but Kevin Owens ended up being now what they're recognizing as the first. And so it'll be really interesting to see if anything comes of that before Mania.
Well, take your time, Finn. I don't need to see you at WrestleMania.
You know, WrestleMania might be a little early because I think he needs the build again because he was in the Big Show for such a short period of time. So I kind of agree with you there. But I am a huge Finn Balor fan and really want to see him back as soon as possible, even if he isn't like the guy at Mania, because I do think he needs a run up. You know, WrestleMania is a peak. And you can't just throw him right in as soon as he gets back since he's around for, like,
well,
I said, such a short period of time.
James, don't get me wrong. I would love to see Finn Balor back, but
right?
Back in the cruiserweight title picture.
Maybe
not as a world champion.
Maybe initially. I would like to see him in that, go for the world title picture because, again, I like the different sizes, the different shaped guys, and I kind of love his gimmick where he's Finn and sometimes he comes out as basically the demon prince or whatever, the demon king, and to kind of take him over the top to the next level. But, man, when a guy that size, if they do put that title on Goldberg or Brock, it's really tough seeing him going against one of those two monsters because that is just such a size.
I've got one for you for Finn.
All right.
It involves a heel turn for the UK title.
What are you thinking about, John?
For the UK title.
Oh, wow. That's not a bad idea. On the UK, you know, for the UK tournament, we saw Finn come out, and that's why a lot of people think he might be coming back soon. And I'm kind of really excited about that UK title and that whole UK division we've got going.
You let Bate and Pete run at each other. Finn comes out to help Bate. And then he turns on him.
That's not a bad idea. And the great thing is there's so many spots now.
Diamond's beside himself over here.
What you got, Diamond? What's wrong with this?
Everything is wrong with it. There being a United Kingdom division is what's wrong with it.
Listen, they're trying to take over the world. I believe they are going to try and take over every territory the same way they did back in the 80s when they basically wiped out the wrestling territory system, and this is just the beginning. I think we're going to get titles all over the world and a lot more shows on the WWE Network, which is already a killer value at $9.99.
You've got a guy, the face of your division, Tyler Bate. I mean, people want him to
leave
than Roman Reigns. He is a year younger than me, I believe, 19. But here's my point. He comes out there. People hate him more than they hate Roman Reigns. They wave bye to him every time he gets in the ring. I mean, why don't you just send him home?
That should make you a Pete Dunne fan then.
No, I'm not a Pete Dunne fan. Not a fan of any of them.
I'm a big Pete Dunne fan.
I'm sure you are. I peg you as a Pete Dunne fan.
I see a lot of Regal in Pete Dunne.
I do too. I think he's a really good worker. I think he really is able to connect with the fans well, make them feel what he wants them to feel. I like Pete Dunne.
Oh, we talked way too long about the United Kingdom Championship here on the Rick Diamond Show.
All 60 seconds.
Yeah, I'd rather talk about that than Japan any day. New Japan. Yeah. So, James, it's been great as always, and I'm so glad your HGTV Live thing worked out. You couldn't have done it without me.
I could not have done it without you, and you helped put me over the top, so now I'm signing the contract to do it every week, Rick. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, and thank you for coming on the Rick Diamond Show. We don't need you, but you're always fun to have.
That's wonderful to hear.
We'll see you next week. Hit us up on iTunes and the Google Play Music app. With that being said, I'm Rick Diamond, and remember, you can't always shine as bright as me, but hey, keep trying anyway.
Thanks for listening to The Rick Diamond Show, the most glorious pro wrestling podcast on the planet. Step into the ring with Rick Diamond every Tuesday night at 9:30 p.m. Central, right after WWE SmackDown Live on ESPN Radio 97.7 and ESPN977.com. Check us out on iTunes and Google Play Store for your on-demand listening pleasure. Glory!